It opens up the heart and gives us so much to just feel in our hearts to know God's presence. As we gather here today, we have been looking at the scriptures in a way that help us in our lives. God wants our lives to be successful. He's made every possibility available for us to take our life where it is and to take it where it needs to be, which is next to Him. In Hebrews 12th chapter, there's a scripture that we are focused on today where it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Let us pray. Dear Lord, open up our hearts that we may grow in grace even more and know that you have set before us the life that we are called to live. Lord, let us know that this indeed is a precious gift, for in it the celebration of life can be found now, but also we can discover far greater things you have in store for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I've always enjoyed the Olympics. I tell you right now, Michael Phelps is from another planet. He has to be. I was doing the Phelps look here on the seat. I was hunkered down and ready to preach. And I want you to know that I'd win a gold medal too, but I can't swim that well. So that's the whole point. That this young man, he's only 31 or 32, has shown the world what he's able to do by the grace of God. He's able to swim and win all those gold medals, and how it makes me so proud to hear our anthem played. I mean, I don't know if it makes you feel the way I do, but I think together we are just swelling up with pride with a nation that's so blessed with enthusiasm and an eagerness to succeed and be successful in life. And I want you to know, too, that there is another version of Michael Phelps, and that's that girl. And what's her name? So Ledecky? Is that it? Oh, my mercy, me. Had the picture of her winning the one race, and it was like she was by herself in the swimming pool because everybody else was so far behind. And she's swimming and doing what she's called to do, what her gift is. And to think of the race that was set before her and how her focus is upon that. Years ago, when I attended Hornet Central, and I'll be working the chain gang at that game, by the way. Lewis has signed me up to do that, and I'm looking forward to being out there. I want you to know that if Central starts looking bad, I'm going to slip on the field and hit maybe a few plays going on there. No, all it'd take is one hit, and I'd be in the hospital, no doubt about it. But it was years ago, we were out there practicing. As you know, in August, at the beginning of August, is the start of football practice in high school. And I remember it was on August 1st or 2nd, I was out there practicing, and Coach Farrell used to love to make us run. And so how many here love to run? I know you love to run. You're on a team, and you have been, and others love to run. How many like to run? And how many like to run away from things? That's me. And how many like to run to things? I thought you were going to do a divide with Carolina fans and Duke fans there a few minutes ago, but that didn't happen. It's amazing that in life there's so much we enjoy and celebrate. Well, what happened was that we had started the football practice, and Coach Farrell wanted us to run, and I was running pretty good. And then there were some younger guys who were like these running backs, and they said G-Man. That's my nickname in high school, G-Man. I was called G-Man. They won't even know Jerome. They will know G-Man out there if you meet anybody from that era. And these running backs said, "So G-Man, how fast are you?" And I said, "I'm as fast as greased lightning." And they said, "Well, okay, we'll prove it." And I said, "Okay, how are we going to prove it here? We're going to run down to the end zone?" Said, "No, we're going to run over here on the track. And we got these starting blocks, you know, that you have to put your foot in and then you run." And I said, "Okay, I can do that." See, I had never done that before. I never actually pushed off on anything to run. I just flat out just start running. But these runners, they have like a thing they put their foot on, and it anchors them, and then they push off from that. And I remember that I was lined up, and we had the fullback and the running back and the other running back, and there's me, who's a lineman, and we start the race, and one of them hollers out, and we start. And no sooner than I start than I'm down on the ground, because for some reason, I pushed the block and fell down. I still don't know what happened. And they were gone. I saw them running down the track, and they were laughing and everything. I still think one of them pulled a joke on me, but I don't know that. But I want you to know that I learned at that point that it's hard to run. Now, my brother was at 29 Palms years ago, getting ready to go to war with the Marines. He's a chaplain at that point. And he was running with the squad, and he was falling behind. As they were running, and the commander, he circled back around and came up beside my brother, and he said, "Chaps, run or die." That's what he said. So my brother sped up and caught up with him at the head of the line. My brother used to be and still is a runner, and I'm not. And in this scripture, we're learning that we aren't alone in this race. We have witnesses. We have a crowd. We have people who are encouraging us in this race that we run. They want us to succeed. People want us to be successful. People want us to get that gold medal to be successful. It's one of the great privileges of life is to be able to encourage someone who is running a race. You could say that school is a race. When you start class, it's a race towards the point where you graduate, but it's not a race of speed, it's a race of intelligence and understanding and knowing. Some could say that life is a race. It is a race in that we have a clear beginning, we are running what's been set before us, and we have a clear ending. Life has a purpose. It's been set before us. So we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, fans, who are wanting the best for us. Now, we're not surrounded to our left and right always by fans. It could be like when I was running, those boys maybe played with the block. I do not know. It could be that I didn't know how to do it, which was the case. But I do know I was running against them to try to win. It was a competition that was there. And so often, even though the crowd is cheering us on, there are others around us who do not want us to succeed. They do not want us to win. They're our competition. There are others trying to get in our way and hinder us from what we're called to do. Now, in the Olympics, I hope everyone's cheering for everybody. Like the young man who Phelps was his hero. He won the first gold of that nation they had ever had in swimming. He won the gold. Phelps won the silver, tied for the silver. And this young man won, and he was so happy. And his whole nation now is lifted up. I think it's Jamaica, one of those island nations. And this young man, he won this gold. And Phelps had told him last time that he needs to keep his head up. He needs to keep going forward. In other words, don't give up is what he told this young man. And he ended up beating his hero. And even though he won it, he still understood that there was one that was there with him who was not only his competition, but was a model to look to, someone to be like, to emulate. So not only are people cheering for us, they are wanting us to win. Now, you may say, well, that's just a sermon, preacher. You're just preaching the sermon. We all know people want us to win. We need to be reminded of that sometimes. Because sometimes in life, we feel beaten down. Sometimes in life, we feel like we're not able to go forward. Sometimes we feel like we're all alone and there's nobody that cares about us. There are moments in every game that even if you have a higher score on the scoreboard, you still feel like a part of you is not complete. There's something still missing. What are we striving for so much? See, and that's what the writer of Hebrews is saying, is that this cloud of witnesses isn't just encouraging us where we are, but encouraging us where we are to go. In other words, it's not just being successful here and now, it's being successful where they want us to go. for they know the race. They can see the race. I can tell you right now, football is a lot easier in the stands than it is on the field. Because when you're on the field, you can't see anything. All you see is the 300-pound guy standing right in front of you that's about to knock you down. You can't see the whole field. It's easy when you sit up in the stands and said, he should have run that way. The running back don't know to run that way. They can't see it. Now, coaches can't see it either sometimes. They try to. And officials, they rarely see it. But that's a whole other story. I was told I would be an official part of the officiating crew. I want you to know I'm going to carry a flag. Anybody uses a bad word, I'm going to throw a flag at them. You said a bad word, young man, there's a flag. Well, what's my penalty? Well, we're going to work on that. See, we live in a life that there are people who are watching us and encouraging us and sometimes helping us or correcting us or saying to us, there's a better way to do this. If someone has bad habit, it's hard to break them of that bad habit to teach them the good habits of life. And often, all these people do who are in the Olympics are people who had bad habits that now have good habits. The reason they can run as much as they can is they've unlearned all the things that are hindering them and learned what they need to know. See, the goal is to get to the finish line. The goal is to run the race. The goal is to be all that God would have us be. See, this cloud of witnesses is seeing it in a way that we can't even imagine. They know the whole race because they see it from a vantage point. And they look upon us and they're cheering for us. And they're saying, I sure hope they keep the faith when that dark day comes. I sure hope they hold to the course set before them that moment that temptation rolls around. I sure hope they keep their eyes on Jesus when somebody else steps into view. I sure hope they live what God would have them be instead of settling for what they think they are. See, and that's what Hebrews is saying. He's saying, let us throw off everything that hinders and sin that so easily entangles. There's a lot between us and this finish line. There's a lot of moments that life gets in the way of living. That's quotable, by the way. Life gets in the way of living. It's like Dr. Laura said this week. I'm looking at Miss Norma because she loves Laura. She's a wonderful pastor. We had a meeting, a conference this week, and Laura stood up only as Laura could. And she said, before we can get the up and down of the cross right between us and God, we got to love the left and right. That's what she said. You probably heard her say that before. See, what she's saying is before we can reach the goal of being with God, we got to understand we're called in a race with others. And this race we're called is not one that we win by winning. We win by loving. We live and we run by giving. See, there's a lot between us and the finish line. And God is watching. In fact, the parables of Jesus, they give us hints. They give us mysteries to be solved. See, our goal is to stop and help those who are hurting. Help those who are weak. See, the Christian race is won not by speed, but is won by perseverance. And that's what the scripture says, that we are to run with perseverance. Now, if you look up that word in the Greek, you'll see that perseverance means suffering. It means that we're able to carry the burden. In fact, it was Ledecky. She gave her an interview after she won her third, I think, gold medal. And she said, it always is painful at the end. But she fights through the pain to win the race. In other words, it gets to that point where you hit a wall and you can't keep going. And you have to build yourself through this in some way. You have to go through this moment because you know if you can fight this moment, if you can make this moment happen, that you can reach what God would have you do. See, this perseverance is what the Christian is called to run with. We are to run with perseverance. In other words, we are to run when the burden is heaviest. When are we most Christian? When we're most challenged. It becomes very easy to see the light when you're in the darkness. It's very easy to see hope when you are seeing hopelessness around you. Years ago, I was called by the general board. They wanted me to design a brand new website for the Methodist Church called UnitedMethodist.org, the official website of the church. They came to Lake Junaluska. They came and they met with me over at the Lambeth. They said, "What do you have in mind?" And I took a napkin. All great ideas start on napkins and around food for some reason. I took a napkin, I took my pen out and started drawing on the napkin. This was a cloth napkin too. And I don't know if you know, but this Lake Junaluska, that costs money and they'll watch you on things like that. But this was important. So I took this cloth napkin. I started drawing out this web idea I had of making it like a movie opening where there's like flames coming across and landing on the cross and running up the cross and the cross and flame burning. And it's open hearts, open minds, open doors. And I was describing this vision to Steve, who was an associate general secretary. And he got all excited. He said, "We're going to have you come to Nashville and meet with the team." I said, I'm going to have a lot on this team. Because I can't run this race on my own, because I can't make that, you know, flame dance. I got to have somebody who knows a technology called Flash, and I need someone who can do a database, because I want a database in there where people can enter a zip code and find a local church. And I want it to be, when that site opens up, it's like boom, it's like wow. And that site's only to keep them there, to send them to a local church. I said, "That's what I have in mind." And he was so excited, and the whole bid. And we worked on that thing for a year off and on. I was doing my other work. This was a side project they allowed me to do. And I remember we launched that website. It was in 2001. Some of you kids weren't even born. And some of us, well, we were born. It launched September the 9th, 2001. And there were ads for it on CNN. People in United Methodist Church, open hearts, open minds, open doors, www.unitedmethodist.org. And then guess what happened? We know what happened. September the 11th. And people went to CNN. And we were the only Christian organization with national ads at that point on TV. By God's providence, they went to that channel, saw that website, typed it in, and in the first 3 days, millions of people saw this vision that I drew on the napkin. I told Leona, after the server kept crashing, because we couldn't handle the volume of people coming because they were hopeless. They had seen the buildings fall. They didn't know what to do. People were running away from the dust and the fallen debris, and others running up into the buildings to save lives while the buildings were crumbling down. And here I am, have launched this, and there's hope because I'm offering them Christ and I'm talking about Jesus, and on this web that God had called me to build. And I said to Leona, I said, "My work is done in this." I said, "I've just crossed the finish line. I can never get past this." So I started the progress at that point of going back to the local church, because I knew what God had set me on course for was that moment to give hope to those around me. And then he had something else for me to do, which is to be with you. And he's had something for you to do, which is to be with me. See, Spring Hill has a duty to fill these pews. We have a duty to support this church. We have a duty to be here where God has called us to be. Because there's going to be a day that somebody in that pew is going to hear that choir sing a song, and it's going to save their life. There's going to be a day that somebody sitting next to you is going to remember you cared enough, and they made it to the next day. See, when we run the race, we bring the body with us. See, perseverance is not a solo race. That's why I love those medleys. I love those relays. And Michael Phelps really loves those, because he gets to showcase He didn't do too good last night, but I tell you, that first guy that swam did a world record, and the last guy that swam, he weren't slowing down, and Michael Phelps walked away with the gold. Even when he was just an average hero, he still got gold because those that surrounded him won. And sisters and brothers, we're not getting to heaven on our own. Now, we met people like that, hadn't we, Brad? Somebody on a team that thinks they're the team. They come walk in the locker room, it's my team. I'm the man. I'm the one won this game. Me and the boys used to like to just talk to them after the game. And we say, you know, we could just step aside and let that guy hit you really hard. We could just fall down and teach you what it means to be protected by a lineman. See, the truth is we do not win this race on our own. The reason we're in church today is because somebody, somewhere, made the difference. It may have been our mother bringing us to church or our father saying, come with me to church. See, we are here because of somebody else. The big lie that's being perpetrated on the American public right now is that somehow we can do this alone. We can't do this alone. We need each other more than we ever have. See, perseverance is where we are together in this kingdom race. And it's been marked out for us. It's not like we got a lot to think about. We just got to do it. See, the church, I was at this program last week, and they coming up with all these new ideas. new ideas. We need to do this, and we need to do that. And by the way, there's a lot of programs around food right now in the church. There are just all kinds of programs around harvest and food and all this. And I think it's wonderful. But everybody wants to reinvent the wheel. Sisters and brothers, it's really simple. It's really simple. This altar is where we have communion. This altar is where we come and we give our burdens to God. I invite you during the week, if you have a burden, to come out to church and you can pray here. But no, even if you're alone at that altar, there's a cloud of witnesses that surrounds you. See, it's a real simple race that's been set before us. And this race has been laid out by God. God is saying, this is what I need you to do. You have a purpose. God, I've tried to figure out what this purpose is. Lord, I don't know what this purpose is. Just do it, Jerome. Just do it. Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I even need to do this thing called the internet. Just do it. You build it, and you'll see what will happen. Just do it. Well, Lord, it's just, what does it mean? I mean, this isn't what I'm trained to do, and you're making me build this thing and telling me to build it, and there was nothing in it for me other than being a part of something greater. But how wonderful the reward has been for me to know that there were hearts who were lifted up because I ran a race that had been set before me, and once I finished it, I knew it was time. I had some others that told me. They said, you could just sit there. You've highly successful. You can retire. And I'm going, what? I can retire? Yeah, you can just sit there with the foundation and continue to build, and you've earned this reputation. Why do you want to go back into the mix? Why do you want to go back to the front line? Why do you want to go back to a society that's turned its back on Jesus? Why do you want to go back to churches that are struggling with finances and with membership and with people's apathy and not caring? Why do you want to go back? In fact, even had a DS ask me in a meeting, a public meeting with other pastors, Jerome, we hadn't figured out why you come back. You were all successful and you come back. Well, why did you come back? And I'm going, because I finished the race set before me. I finished what God would have me do, because I want to start a new race. I want to start a new run. I want there to be a new objective, a new moment. See, kids, you can't always go back to high school. There's going to be a day that you're going to go back to high school and they're not going to know you, and you're not going to know them unless you are really successful. And even then, you probably won't be known by everybody. See, we're not running back. We're running to. See, we're not running from. We're running towards. We're not trying to recapture the golden era of the Christian church. We're trying to run what race has been set before us. And what the race is this. You're living in a society now that is skeptical of what you believe in and who you believe in. We're living in a world now that does not believe in God. We're living in a point now where people have given up hope and they turn to science and they turn to knowledge and information as their salvation. We are living in a time that even children are doing things that should not be doing and adults have lost their way. We're living in this day where there is this vast ocean of souls that need saving. And the race is we need to capture as many as we can and help them get on board and sail with us on this ship of Zion. See, perseverance is gathering up all so that we run this race set before us. Not another race, not somebody else's race, but what God has set before us. We are running to God or we are running away from God. Then that's the truth. That's what the truth is. There's no in between. Either a person is living for the Lord or they are not. If somebody is not going to church, guess what? They can claim religion all they want to, but if they're not attending or being an active member, even in spirit, body and mind and soul, if they think that they can have their own private belief and be saved, they are fooling themselves. Because God is saying to us, I am not your personal God, I am your God personally. See, the race that's been set before us is a singular race. Some are saying, well, there's a lot of ways we can get there. We can just be good people and that'll be enough. Or we can just live lives that are okay and that'll be enough. Well, the scripture says we must fix our eyes on Jesus. See, the true test of the race we're running is Jesus. Sisters and brothers, Christ is laying out the race set before us. The Spirit is letting us know that we are to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Our author and perfecter is what one translation calls it, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. In other words, he has birthed faith in us and he is fulfilling faith in us. And the faith is in God, and the faith in him. And the reason we do this is joy. Is joy. I've done services for people who are not of the kingdom. You know, it's like the old Jerry Clower joke, you know. There was this mean man who he was pretty mean. He passed away in this certain town. And so the brother, the mean man, come to the preacher and said, "Preacher, I'll give you $1,000 cash if you call my brother a saint during the service." And the preacher said, "I don't know." He said, $1,000 cash. And so the preacher says, "Okay, I'll do it." So during the service for the man, he says, "I want y'all folks to know that this was a mean man who died. He was mean. He cheated people. He was rude. But he was a saint compared to his brother sitting there on the first row." So that way he was able to get his $1,000 and plus able to call it like it was. I started not to tell that joke, but we've gotten personal over a year, I guess. And last Sunday we got real personal because I kept y'all way over, and I do apologize for that. But we were talking about things that aren't talked about much in Methodist churches anymore, but they needed to be talked about. And today what we're talking about is being true that our purpose is Christ. See, how do we know if we're running the right race? Christ. Is Christ with me on this race I'm doing? If we're running towards something that we're not supposed to be, then we can clearly say we're on the wrong path. We need to get on the right path, the right way. And Christ opens up the door. Years ago, when I was a little boy, my daddy owned a Sinclair gas station and a Hardee's franchise and was about to do a deal to get a Pepsi-Cola bottling plant. I was a little boy. Yeah, y'all didn't know that. I never told y'all that. Which means I grew up washing in green dinosaur soap. I did, because he had boxes of this green dinosaur soap. It was Sinclair, you know, the dinosaur. And so I thought all soap was green, and this was way before Barney, you know, the purple dinosaur. And so I thought all soap was green, and I used to wash in that for years, and I used to count the coins from Hardee's looking for old wheatback pennies and buffalo nickels and everything. Every night I'd be sorting through the coins looking for these collector coins. Oh, my goodness gracious. And one night we were sitting there at the table, and I used to get to eat at Hardee's too, by the way, and that's back when burgers were burgers. They were big and juicy. And I remember that I was sitting there looking for like buffalo nickels and wheat backs and things like that. And my dad, he kind of looked up from the table, and he's looking at me, and I'm looking at him, and I'm figuring he's wanting me to find something, and I'm looking real hard, and he's looking at me, and I'm looking at him. And finally he says to me, he said, "Jerome," he said, "is this living?" I said, "No, Dad, this work. This is work." He said, "We don't need to be doing this." So what did he do? He sold out. He sold the gas station. He sold the Hardee's, and he didn't complete the transaction of the bottling plant. And he became a full-time Methodist preacher. And I remember that because it had a direct impact on our income. And as a little boy, I had toys I had to play with longer and wear out because our money suddenly dried up. And there were a few times that I questioned that decision by my dad. But I want you to know that that was the race that was set before me. And I am running that race. So wealth is not the ultimate goal of life. It's not. Success is not the ultimate goal of life. And fame is not the ultimate goal of life. And fortune is not the ultimate goal of life. And 23 gold medals, though, it's very impressive. And he has 28 total, the other being silver. I don't know if he's ever won a bronze. I don't know that fact. But I can tell you right now that that's not, because he says he's retiring to do what? To spend more time with Boomer, his boy. And by the way, he should get married, in my opinion. That's just my opinion. Because I think you're not truly married till you're married. Because if you want to know if that's true or not, look how long some people survive after they get married, who have supposedly been together, because they suddenly realize marriage isn't just being together, it's believing in something greater. Marriage is a race that's set before you, and it's a race set before you so you can fulfill what God would have you be, so you can be complete in what you do. See, God has given us those that surround us, our companions, to help us be the people we are called to be. And I know sometimes the race gets hard, and I know things happen and things occur, but the simple fact about it, if you want to know where the starting line is for the kingdom, it's right at this point, right here, right now. Right this moment, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day I can run the race God has set before me. Today I can be the man he wants me to be. Today I can choose the right way. Today I can do what my dad did at that kitchen table at that little town years ago when he looked at me and he said, "This is not living." Because I think he saw in me something building that was setting me on a course. And it would have been nice to be a Rockefeller. But it's a lot nicer to be me. It's a lot nicer to know what really counts in life. See, what are we running to? And it says that Jesus, when he came, he set his eyes upon the cross, and he did it. He made it to the cross because he knew he wouldn't fail him. He wanted us, it says in the scripture that Miss Alpha read, he even wished it weren't the case. He wished that he didn't have to do it, but he knew he had to because he knew we would put him there. He knew our sin would not just allow him to be free He knew he had to go to the cross, and he went to the cross, and guess what? He hung on the cross, he died on the cross, and then God made it where he rose again the third day, and on the third day, he rose, and 40 days afterwards, he returned to God, and he said, I'm coming, and I'm coming to get you, and we're going to come home together. See, he has set the race straight to us that we are to go to him, but we can't go to him till we reach out to each other saying, you can do it. You can do it. Together we can make this happen. Together we can do this. I can tell you right now, there is nothing on heaven or earth or beneath the earth that a church of God cannot do if it sets its heart to do it. There's nothing beyond the scope of a person of faith. And sisters and brothers, do not worry more than the day offers the worry. Because Jesus has done this all for the joy that has been set before him. He wants the joy of knowing what is about to happen. There was another event that happened in the mountains that caused me to come back to the local church. It wasn't just this website that was highly successful and how vanity fills a person's heart. I was in a city, I forgot which city. I was teaching a workshop, I forgot what workshop. I'd traveled so much. I talked to Leona that night and called her and said, what's up, what's happened? And she told me Hannah took her first step. And I wasn't there, because I was off pursuing this dream of being a secretary, general secretary of communications. And Leona said, she took her first step, and I said, oh, she did. Oh, yeah. She didn't realize what impact it would have on me, but it did. Because she was describing just what people describe with little children and these firsts that they do, the first smile, the first step, the first day at school. But to me, who was chasing another dream and another race, it was a moment that I faced again that same decision. Where do I need to be? And what is God calling me to do? See, Jesus has done this all for his joy. Christ is doing this all for his love. And he is giving it all for his reason. Let us pray. Dear Lord, let us know this race that is set before us is a race of glory. It is a race of triumph. It is a race of victory. Lord, it is not what we do here, but what we do here and beyond that matters. It is this next step that we take and the decisions we make. Lord, help us be your people, and that everything we do, we are faithful to this call. Lord, let us know that there are moments that we see glory, but there are also moments when we're in the shadows. We do not know. And those are the moments that others come alongside these witnesses and help us to take the next step. Lord, help us run with perseverance. In Jesus' holy, sweet name we pray. Amen.